Welcome to the Informed Pregnancy and Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Elliot Berlin. Sitting next to me is a voice you may remember from previous episodes. She's a podcaster, childbirth educator, doula, placenta encapsulator, and midwife, Bliss Young.
That was so fast. Hello, everybody.
Yeah. MSRP.
Glad to be back.
So glad to have you back. Our guest today is an Aussie actor who's been in like everything, but her career seemed to really climax with her recent appearance on the Informed Pregnancy Podcast. She was here. Why is that funny? She was here during her second pregnancy and, among other great conversations, shared the story of her first birth and how it went different than she had expected and hoped, and what she was planning for baby number two. Well, she recently gave birth to Theodore, who's here having a meal. And as promised, she has come back to share the sequel. Emily DeRoven, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm very glad to be back. And yeah, any strange noises or weird breathing or what you can hear right now
is the
munchkin.
Is our youngest guest ever to appear on the podcast.
He doesn't have much to say right now because he's got a nipple in his mouth.
Yeah. I don't know where to go with that, so.
Carry on.
Last time you joined us, you were cooking up this little guy. How was the rest of the pregnancy?
When was I? I was what? How many weeks was
you
I?
Towards the end.
I was like, what, 36-ish? Something like that?
Yeah.
About there. It was... Well, he's got another thought.
Oh, you could just tell us.
It was fine. It was I really didn't have anything major except a little, like I spoke about last time, I think a little bit of back pain and you know, that hip issue that I had.
You have this funky hip issue.
You worked that out. That was actually there we go. A little burp.
Always makes me feel better.
You worked out a crazy hip issue, that's true.
You couldn't walk.
I was literally limping. Yeah, I know. I went to Manhattan for work for the weekend. I was like, oh, I'll walk around. Couldn't. I got stuck in the hotel and it ended up, you sort of relieved it with just these couple of random, well, not random, but specific pressure points.
Yeah, trigger points under your sacrum.
Yeah, that just, I mean, immediately wasn't like back to full on normal, but it really relieved it.
Yeah, I found them on Google.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I'm sure. Google. You find everything on Google, don't you?
Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah.
That's how I find everything.
But no, it was good. My challenge was that everyone was like, oh, he'll be, as Bliss knows, everyone was like, oh, he'll, except you. He'll be early, you know, or, you know, at least not late. So I'm getting, you know, pretty antsy about my due date. And that was kind of it for me. And also getting actually a little bit back to first trimester emotional, hormonal feelings of just being really, really zero patience, pretty angry, pretty upset, not being able to have much empathy for even myself.
Wow, you really took, I mean.
I took a spin, like just, yeah, and it was probably for what, like the last like 2 weeks or something like that, I think, maybe.
I mean, definitely the prenatal that I saw you right before delivery, we were talking about that.
Yeah.
You also got sick in there. I think you also got sick in there. Like
I did. We got super sick. Like the whole family got super sick.
And you had a peanut reaction.
I had a peanut. I was meant to go see my backup doctor. And like an hour before I was going to leave, I ate a peanut in something that someone had given me in a truffle or something. And that was interesting
because
I'm super allergic.
Like EpiPen allergic?
Like EpiPen allergic, which I didn't do. I just threw up for about, I don't know, an hour and was just sort of on the bathroom floor.
So just on top of everything else?
Yeah.
It was the nut allergy.
Yeah. So that was kind of a rough. And it was during the hip issue thing too.
Right, when you couldn't walk.
Just like the last few weeks were just kind of.
You also, I feel like you. Yeah, I guess maybe because people told you. I feel like you were almost there for longer than most people are almost there. Like you.
Yeah.
Like you expected it to come early or before your due date.
Well, for two reasons. People telling me, but also physically, which could be just me or could be, you know, a second child or whatever. It doesn't really matter. The feelings that I was feeling physically with him were stuff that I started to feel the day before I had Vera, my daughter. So
you felt it earlier.
I felt it so much earlier. Like I was getting Braxton Hicks like every hour. I was walking became horrible. Like walking was enjoyable and it was, you know, sort of a great release and getting fresh air and exercise felt great. Then I got sick. And then when I started, like, oh, cool, I can walk again and, you know, I'm not ill It started feeling like, oh, my baby's just going to fall out of me.
I remember you saying that too.
It sounds lovely, but that's just how it felt. Like every step was like, it was no longer anything enjoyable except I should do this for him and me and gravity's sake. But
were you doing things towards the end to specifically try to get baby coming out, going?
I was doing yoga as well a couple of times a week. I ended up doing castor oil, which I think you know.
No.
Maybe you don't.
Oh, really?
Did you know this?
No.
I did. I took castor oil, which I've taken before just for...
Those sneaky ladies.
You know...
Wait, for what?
Google.
Constipation.
Oh.
I mean,
I didn't even know it was a constipation remedy.
Yeah, it's in the children's section at CVS.
That's why it loosens your bowels and that's what stimulates
it's
labor.
Kind of funny, too. You look it up and people are like, oh, it tastes like...
What does it taste like?
Canola. It doesn't taste like canola. Canola. It doesn't taste like... It literally has no flavor.
I don't drink canola oil.
You don't?
No.
Oh, yeah. You should change your bio.
No.
There's a big thing on there.
I gotta look what else was in the children's section at CVS.
Maybe it's just
what
my
good
CVS.
Stuff is hiding out of it.
I have a special CVS. But, and you know, obviously that's, you know, as well, if you don't know, that's not going to do anything unless you're actually ready anyway.
When did you do it?
I did it. I thought Oops. Eric told you, because I'm like, I put everything on him when you came over. I'm like, you got to just tell her everything.
Oh, that's when you were mad or when you were in labor?
When I was in labor, slash mad. But maybe around like 11 at night.
Oh, so you took it right before you went
into
it caused the labor.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It totally triggered it. Oh. I was 2 days over. Which to me felt like, a few years.
Well, because you were leading up to it. It was like, it's going to be tomorrow. It's going to be tomorrow.
I know.
And like 2 weeks later,
because
it's almost
here. Because
it
felt like that I had, it was like everything, like I said, everything I was feeling was like the stuff I was feeling the day before.
I heard you say it's going to be tomorrow so many times. In the middle of the night, I woke up thinking I was having contractions every 3 minutes.
Oh,
last thing I wanted to
I'm not that bad. There's got to be other people like me.
No, you're amazing.
No.
Oh, I don't like either of you right now.
But we love you. It's just you're unique.
I did eat all of your caramello koalas, by the way.
Oh, you did because I didn't come? It's not my fault. You took castor oil while I was on vacation.
It's your fault, though, because...
I agree with you.
That's true. Yeah, but,
when's mom coming back? All right. So your plan was, and Bliss is not just an amazing midwife. Bliss is your amazing midwife.
Yes.
I don't know if I said that at the beginning.
I don't think you did, actually.
Yeah.
You just randomly had Bliss here.
Yeah. Bliss is just having to be in the hood.
Who I met through you, through your glowing recommendation of knowing me decently and that you were described as like the perfect combination of somebody who's super, super intelligent, very, very book smart, very on it and awesome in an emergency, but also very calm and spiritual and... You know, naturally minded, but would not let that take over in cases where needed.
That's exactly what I said, word for word.
Wow, thank you. I'm blushing.
No.
I did not recommend castor oil 2 days post-dates. I just want to make sure that's...
Oh, no, she told me never to take it, probably.
Because...
My mom was trying to get me to take it like 3 weeks before. She's like, I'll just do it. I'll bring some over. I'm like, first of all, I can get it here, Mom. Like, it's not like contraband or something.
They even have it in the children's section.
No, I didn't...
My children's section has little marijuana drops. Kids love suckers.
Which CVS is that?
No, West Hollywood. Oh. Come by anytime. So Bliss is a combination of book smart and street smart and just super, it's like a weird combo because you don't usually find someone who's like really this or really that. And you're like,
no, it's true.
You're both.
Thanks, you guys.
No, thank you.
I'm honored that you referred me and we had a really good, you were already quite pregnant when we got together.
I was.
Yeah.
So
we didn't have a ton of time together, but.
I think I was probably about six and a bit. I don't think it was quite seven.
No, that's only 2 weeks before you kept saying it's almost here.
Exactly.
Coming tomorrow.
It's 7 months. Let's do this. Because we just moved.
We were out
by Del Mar.
You were at a birth center and then you moved out of that neighborhood.
Right. And then you were like, well, why would you even think of driving there? And I was like, I know, it's stupid. And you revisited.
Well, just once you're in labor, and then you have to labor because you can't go too
there
early,
no
and
point.
It's no longer near you. I mean, it's an amazing birth center, but...
Which one?
Del Mar.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And look, a birth center, it's basically doing it at home without having to clean up.
And somebody else's
home.
You
know, you guys cleaned up anyway, and there wasn't much to clean up.
Yeah. No. It's like,
yeah. But, no. You know, you don't have the LED tub and the nitrous oxide in case you have to have a tooth removed.
A tooth removed?
Well, nitrous.
Oh, no, I just removed my own teeth while I was laboring.
Wow. You're crafty.
Yeah, you know.
So you wanted, first time you said you're going to do the birth center, but then you had this crushing back labor.
I did. And I had horrible back labor and ended up with the amazing now retired Dr. Wu.
Dr. Wu. And you still have a birth that you enjoyed.
Like. Yeah, it was a vaginal birth. It was all fine. I got out of the hospital like as soon as they could let me escape from the room. And, you know, Vera was fine. I was fine.
And then you, because I think a lot of people, when they have that experience, they try an out-of-hospital birth. And then it goes down that path. Then they're like, oh, maybe I'll just have a hospital birth this time.
In case it did cross my mind. I think I said this to you, and I definitely said it to you. At the end of like, when I, she's just laughing her ass off right
while
now.
While you were pushing?
While I was feeling fantastically emotional, towards the end of my pregnancy, that it was. Yeah,
well, he remembers. Don't bring that up again.
Of getting back to, which I think I'd mentioned to you at the get-go, just sort of, at the get-go of, you know, there is part of me that's like, oh, well, that's what I know, you know.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't my idea of my perfect birth, but it was, you know, what happened and we were all fine and it's all, yeah, all I've experienced. So at the end, though, it got back to, I'm just going to go in. I don't know, probably saying, like, I'm going to get induced. I'm going to just go back to the hospital and getting on that train again for about, I don't know, 5 days.
I mean, I think there's a certain point with a lot of women where it feels so out of their control and they're so frustrated that finding something that they feel like.
Something to hold on to.
Yeah. I can manage this. I can go in and I can do this and I can make it happen. Mm-hmm. And so I think that. It was only a moment that you felt that way, but yeah.
It felt like a long time, but it was probably like 5 days or something. Yeah. And it was though a lot though, and it was, I don't know. I hate that a lot of people, not you guys obviously, but really diminish women's emotions at all in general, but especially during hormonal changes and during pregnancy and during postpartum and during the whole. Hormonal altering of one's mind. It's a real thing.
Yeah.
It's super serious. It's something not to take lightheartedly. And, you know, it's all valid. And you really have to feel, because if you don't feel, if you can't relax your body and your mind, you're not going to have your baby at all. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, I go back to this video that is the most fantastic video I've ever seen of. I think it's might be a giraffe or something giving birth in its, you know, natural habitat. Baby's crowning and then lions come along.
Mm-hmm.
Baby goes back in. The animal runs and hides for a few days until knows it's safe and then has the baby. You know, and it's like, well, yeah, how are you going to, you know, whatever scares you is not going to. It's not going to help you. It's not going to induce labor in any way. So if you're scared by going to the hospital, maybe that's not your best path. If you're scared being at home, well, that's not your best path either.
Absolutely.
You know, whatever is – and, yeah, things are going to happen that you're going to be in wherever it happens at some point too. You know?
Yes. How did you get past – like what happened over those 5 days? How did you come out of it?
I gave birth.
Oh.
She took castor oil.
I took castor oil and gave birth. I went to Katsuya because I was like, I'm going to have sushi because it doesn't matter anymore.
The baby's coming.
They do it in Japan every day.
We did talk about a plan, you know, for making sure that this wasn't something that was going to continue into her postpartum period. So we did talk about, like, setting up a plan to make sure that she had somebody she could talk to. And, you know, we really talked through the emotions of it because we weren't sure if it was just something that was going to remedy as soon as she had the baby or if it was showing signs of some hormonal issues that were going to be something we really needed to pay attention to.
Oh, so you think about postpartum while they're still pregnant?
We do.
That's so unique.
So smart.
I told you, street smart.
But, I mean, yeah, and so I touched base with my therapist, made sure that, yeah, because you don't want to be trying to update someone on the last 6 months of your life when you're in a crisis, you know. Mm-hmm. You want someone to be at least kind of up to date with what's going on. So But, you know, luckily for me, everything kind of just really leveled out.
She and felt great.
I felt great.
Yeah.
Leading up to. So good.
After. Yeah.
Do you think it's because of all the caramel koalas that you ate that were meant
most
for
me? Most likely.
Okay.
Most likely.
Because those always make me feel good.
Because I have no energy because this guy has gained like 15 pounds in 5 days.
How do you have such a, I mean, Bliss said it. He's almost as big as you.
He is, honestly.
Yeah.
It is kind of funny. My daughter's little. She's very petite.
I look at you feeding him, and I'm thinking job security. Like, as a chiropractor, I'm set.
Is this inappropriate, you guys?
No, he's, yeah.
He's big. You got good.
But he wasn't big when he was born. He was 7. My daughter was just like an ounce under 6. And so, it's a difference, but not crazy.
Are there differences in how they're eating, or are there differences
no,
in
he's
is he sneaking
eating
down to the kitchen at night? Is he taking Ambien and making sandwiches? What's going on?
Maybe. I don't know. He it feels like he's drinking the same, and I've started pumping.
Are you eating different?
No.
It's the home birth.
Oh, it's the home birth.
Yeah.
It's totally the home birth. It's bliss. Exactly.
Maybe it's that one peanut you had in the truffle.
It's the one peanut.
Yeah, he's just expanding.
The pregnancy peanut.
It sounds like a book.
Or a movie. It could be.
The pregnancy peanut.
Yeah.
I really don't know. It's just him, in my opinion.
Probably.
I don't think it's anything to do with me. My milk looks the same. It tastes the same. It seems about the same amount that I'm producing. From when I pump, like, it's coming out just as quickly, and I'm getting as much. Because she drank a lot, but she just didn't gain. And, yeah, he just gained a lot real quick. Like, he only dropped for about not even a full day, I don't think, under his birth weight. So I think day 3, he was at 7.2. And he was born at 7.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So usually they...
Yeah. Well, he did drop. He dropped down to like, I don't know. He dropped, I think, 5 ounces under his birth weight. But, you know, yeah, for 5 minutes. And, wow. Yeah, no, it's funny. It is really funny. I never
how
had...
How different they are.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So crazy. She was always this little skinny mini. He's like a little chunky legs that don't even fit in half of his onesies.
He's so cute. Those cheeks. I need his cheeks. Let's talk about the birth. So where were you in relation? You were 2 days post due?
Yeah.
When you started swigging the caster?
When I started swinging. I didn't even have a full dose.
Is there orange juice? You do.
Mm-hmm.
Do you take it? You just drink it straight up?
Yeah, it's literally like having no tasting oil. So
not even an olive? Nothing?
I don't understand. Yeah, because it's the whole dressing thing. You know, the LA dressing. Did you have the dressing?
Coyote salad dressing?
Which is really just the castor oil in it that is.
Is there castor oil in the dressing?
Sure that's the only thing that does anything in it.
Mm. I'm sure there is.
Wow.
Apparently. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, why? Sense. I don't need to have a salad. I'll just have the stuff that's in the
mystery
thing.
Ingredient.
You know.
So you didn't pour it over lettuce?
No, you just have a spoonful like you do with, you know, flaxseed oil or whatever you do.
Just like I do with flaxseed oil.
Did you have a teaspoonful? Because usually the recommendation, I think, is like 2 tablespoons or something.
I think it was like 2 tablespoons, and I didn't because I'm small. I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, I don't want to be pooping all night, so I didn't take as much as I was even meant to.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was, who knows, maybe I would have just happened at the same time. It didn't feel like, I also didn't feel very crampy from it.
Yeah.
After you take it?
Yeah, I didn't go ballistically diarrhea on everyone.
Right.
At all. It was just like, oh, I had a poo.
Well, all I know is I got you texted me at some point. You know what?
I texted you late though, I think, because it all happened so fast.
Let's take a quick break. Let's get the whole story right after this little break. We'll be right back. This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike, Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of 4, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric-approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby. Not even diaper rash. Welcome back to the More Pregnancy Podcast. We're talking to Emily DeRavin and midwife Bliss Young. So talk
my
us through
midwife.
Labor. Your midwife.
And others.
Look, if I could get knocked up, she'd be my midwife.
Thanks.
So what's going on? You tell me, you take the oil and then what happens?
You take the oil. I started, so my first pregnancy, major back labor. Mm-hmm. So I never had, I never had a clear recollection of what like a full on contraction felt like that was not back labored. So my biggest fear was going into back labor again, but also B, how do I know that it actually is labor and not just, you know, heavier Braxton Hicks or something else, because I hadn't experienced just regular contractions with my first. I think it started around like 2 a.m. and then we started timing them on the app that we had turned off, the call the ambulance thing that you get on there. I just kind of kept timing them. And
how far do you remember how far apart they were?
To start with, I don't. It's on my app history. Uh-huh. They were probably about 10 minutes or something, probably.
Talk through them? Talk through them, not that intense?
Yeah, I mean, I talk a lot. Even when we were like, oh, we'll let Bliss sleep, you know, like, because it was super early and I was fine and, you know, there was nothing seemingly wrong. And my water hadn't broken. I'd had a little bit of bloody show, which I never had with my daughter. Well, I probably did, but I was probably already at the hospital at that point. Mm-hmm. And we called you around, 6:30, I think, in the morning?
I trust you.
Something like that. Something like that. It was about 4 hours into
which
it.
Which was very nice of you.
And, unless there was something wrong, it's like, okay.
You don't need
we
me
don't
staring
know if it's
going
to be. Yeah, and we don't know if it's going to be long or whatever, and we knew you were at home. And anyway, so I remember you saying to me on the phone, though, because Eric's like, oh, she wants to talk to you. And I'm like, I know why. I know why. She wants to see if I'm actually, mm-hmm. you know, having full-on mm-hmm. contractions yeah. and how far along I am, because I know that you guys are all so smart yeah. and can tell how someone sounds. But
sometimes.
Knowing myself so well, I'm like, she's going to think I'm lying because I was so antsy to have him mm-hmm. and because I never stopped talking. So you're like, you're very chatty. I'm like, I know, but don't. No, it's not. It's real.
And so I said, I think I'll come over and see how things are going.
I even remember purposely trying to shut up in between so that you'd be like, okay.
Oh, wait, she's quiet. This is
yeah.
Weird.
Like over moaning or something, because I'm like, I know I'm ready. I just
but
know.
But it escalated pretty quickly from there.
Yeah.
Because by the time I got there, she was full on in labor.
Still chatting.
In between.
Mm. Still chatting. And directing, you know, like what she wanted and what we should be doing. And Eric was trying to get the tub set up. So.
Oh, that was funny. That was like a comedy.
Wait, so were you feeling it in your back?
No, I was feeling it in my hips.
Front of your
hips? After Bliss got there.
Kind of
back, but lower. Like nothing like I had with Vera, but I still wasn't even, I don't think I was still even 100% sure, even, I don't know, like an hour into you being there, that I wasn't going to be in back labor. Mm-hmm. Because how can you guarantee that this is not happening? So that's when I think I had you guys check me.
Mm-hmm.
Just so I could be like, 100% sure I wasn't 1 centimeter again, because that's what happened with my daughter. That I was.
What were you?
You know, I was. By the time I got to the hospital, I was still at 1 centimeter.
Oh, what were you when Bliss checked you?
Well, Julie checked, right?
I was 10.
Mm-hmm. 10?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you think I probably was when you got there.
Mm-hmm. That's all you can do?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That's 20.
That's all you can do. That's really good. It's the best.
Yeah.
Got to 40.
In like 2 hours.
Yeah.
I think that's really common, though, with women right before the baby is getting really deep into the pelvis to feel a lot in their hips and in their lower back when the baby's passing through, because your back actually has to expand.
It has to open up around the baby.
Yeah.
But different than back labor where you're having those surges like all between
time.
Your lumbar and sacrum.
Yeah.
Just, like you're going to break in
half. It was different. Yeah, that was a breaking in half feeling. This was not a nice feeling by any means, but it was a productive feeling.
Mm, that's important.
It felt like something was happening that was meant to happen.
Were you shocked when you found out you were 10 centimeters?
Well, I didn't really. It was just like, you're ready. I'm like, oh, okay. But then I knew.
Well, somewhere in there I got a text. Somewhere in there you texted me or Erica.
I think, I texted you, I think, maybe before Bliss got there.
Mm. I was on vacation.
Not in Hawaii. Where were you?
No, we're just in like, where were we? We were in Moor Park, I think. Not so far away. Staycation.
You'd driven somewhere.
Yeah, we drove to Moor Park. And I remember thinking, shoot, I'm not going to get those caramel claws.
and you didn't.
I didn't. I thought I'd get them afterwards, at least.
I'm so lame, too. I ate them slowly. I'm like, oh, I'll just have a few and then I'll save some. They were all like late night. Post having him snacks.
Yeah.
Because I had kept them in the bedroom in case you were coming, above where we've got like a little temporary change thing set up for him. And so at night, I'd be like, oh, just have one more.
I do that with my kids' snacks all the time. I'm like, I shouldn't. They're going to wake up in the morning and I'm like, and they're not going to have any snacks.
Oh, I hide in that because Vera, my daughter, she knows whenever I'm having it. She's like, what are you having? what's that? What are you eating, Mum? I'm eating some celery. It's a carrot. Or I'll be, she's like, but it's not crunchy. It sounds crunchy.
Yeah.
What's crunchy in your mouth?
She's looking out for you. Mom, make sure that carrot.
I hide and eat now.
Make sure that carrot has no peanuts in it.
Oh, God, yeah. But
I did all my work before you went into labor.
You did.
You needed nothing.
She really did.
You had
didn't.
It all built in.
She really did.
It was.
You did amazing.
But that was my struggle, though, through labor, was not knowing for a bit if it was going to end up in back labor.
Mm-hmm. It was traumatic for you the first time, so it got triggered.
Yeah, it totally got triggered. And also, I don't know, I felt the urge to push very early on. Well, I don't know. According to me and I think what we talked about, it seemed kind of early, but it felt right. Like it felt when I didn't, because there was a couple of contractions that I sort of tried to hold back on pushing, and it just felt terribly wrong and
to
weird
not push?
And to not push. Mm-hmm. But then nothing was happening for a while. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know if you remember how long I pushed for, but it felt like a long time.
It wasn't very long.
It wasn't a couple of hours.
We weren't even there. We weren't even there very long. I know it felt like a long time to you.
I think you guys were there for about 3.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Which before I had him. Before I had him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just not long.
But still, it's not like I pushed for 10 minutes.
No.
Where for some reason
were you in water? Did you get in water?
Mm-hmm. Did I what?
Get in water.
I did, yeah. So I was in my tub for a minute.
While he was trying to set up.
Fill up the other tub, the big tub.
Then he had that, because he had the thing in the wrong thing.
Oops. Yeah,
and then I'm like, no,
that
try
to
that.
A lot of guys. I'm saying when they're trying to fill up the birth tub.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
And I was in the tub for probably like an hour, maybe longer, and it felt great. Except when I started cramping, sort of like from my groin to my knees, that I couldn't get enough traction.
On the inside? Your adductors?
Yeah, on both legs, that I couldn't get enough traction in the tub to steady and try. You know, when you've got like a, you know, horse bite feeling cramp.
Yeah.
And you need to stretch it out and figure out how to get. I couldn't do it in the water. So they were both doing it at the same time. I had to get out. Or stand up in the tub. But you were saying, Bliss, that it was not obviously a good idea to try and have him standing up, because then if I wanted to sit down or, you know, possibly drop into the water. Like, obviously it's fine to have him in the water directly, but you don't want to have him and then have him drop into the water after, right?
Right. So standing up for birth is fine, but when you're standing inside of the tub, it's probably not the safest thing because we want, yeah. We don't want the baby to come out into oxygen and then go into the water.
Ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it just limits a little bit when you're not submerged as you're pushing. That was the only concern.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So ended
so
up.
So you got out? You
I got out, ended up. So this was all in my bedroom. Mm-hmm. Got kind of a big bedroom area and the tub was in that same room. Then, yeah, it was, I don't know, we sort of laid down in a couple of different positions and ended up, though, using Eric, my fiancé, as a birthing stool, basically, on the side of the bed.
Oh.
So he
It's one
was
of my favorite positions, by the way.
Birthing,
your face right now.
The partner birthing stool?
It's one of my favorites.
It is. Using the dad.
As a birthing stool?
Mm-hmm. It was cool. Mm-hmm. We got some cool photos.
Yeah.
I've been the birthing stool.
You were?
For other women?
Yeah. I mean, just, there's one. Yeah, you were, oh, maybe you came right after.
For hundreds.
There's one, she's had five kids. I think, were you there for that birth where she had her fifth at home? And
I don't know.
Okay. I know you were there afterwards, but I'm not sure if you were there when she actually gave birth.
Oh, okay.
And then she just,
that
wherever,
she was sitting on you.
Wherever she is, she just drops.
You're talking about. I was not there.
I'm she just dropped with all her babies. She just drops on the floor when she's ready to give birth and then just starts pushing right there. It does so somewhere in the hospital, and you could see it coming. She just goes down and they like blanket the whole floor with sheets so it's semi sterile. And then she just that's where she is, but there she's not up against anything. So then when she's trying to push, you need something
there's
behind
nothing.
Her.
Gotcha.
So and then also she has back labor even when the babies aren't posterior. So she likes to have the counter pressure with every surge and including during pushing. So I'm behind her trying to counter pressure but like lean down and all of a sudden she starts pushing back and grab. I'm like, I think I just turned into furniture.
Yeah. So he was furniture.
He was furniture.
He was happy furniture.
Huh.
it was cool. He had his hands on my thighs, and I still have this, I don't know, I'm calling it like an ingrown bruise.
Oh, wow.
On my thigh that's still really sensitive, and I looked at pictures, and I'm like, aha, it's there. It's exactly
pictures
where my
pictures after the birth, but you don't
pictures
see it
of
now.
Pictures of me laboring. No, you never saw it. It was so deep, this pain in my thigh from where my hand was.
Oh, wow.
Of pressing down on myself for traction. And, yeah, so I'm off the side of the bed. I mean, he was caught. It didn't just drop, but
how was pushing for you?
It felt like I was pushing for so long. Actual, like, productive him coming out was, apart from, you know, yeah, obvious pain, it was a really cool experience. It was something that the main part of why I didn't want to ever be medicated if I couldn't help it with Vera too, which I had to be, but with him, it was so nice to be able to just feel what your body is doing and what it can do and going through it with him, even though I know I was going through it with her, just being able to have the conscious and physical, like the physical and emotional connection at the same time as opposed to just looking in a mirror like I was with her.
Mm-hmm.
And no, it's really cool. It's insane. And then you look at pictures, you're like, how can your vagina do that? And I mean, I didn't tear with my daughter either at all, and I didn't tear with him. But how is just fascinating. It's still fascinating to me. It really is.
I agree. Absolutely.
Our bodies are so freaking cool.
And then you make food for it.
And then, yeah.
Right away.
And then he came out and just he latched right away. He's got a much more lazy look. He's a total guy.
He's a lazy eater.
My daughter was like she could do like a breastfeeding tutorial. She was like, the perfect, I'm going to open my lips all pretty and open and not even burp and know when to come off and go back on. And this one's like, But he's great though. He's so sweet.
How's two? How's having two?
I don't know how I was going to do it. I never really, I mean, I always wanted to think everything was going to be fine, and it is. It's amazing. But I never really knew, I never really had an expectation of how it would be. And it's first of all, so sweet that he looks at her now that he's, you know, a lot more alert and whatnot. smiles at her, and you know, they have this like little thing going on. But from day one, though, my daughter was so sweet, so loving, like kissing him immediately, wanting to hold him and touch him, and never like a nasty word about him or the situation. Like, she's always been super into it. There's other challenges there, having a toddler, that I don't think she realizes why she's acting out a little bit now.
Mm-hmm.
She's about to turn three, so there's just, you know, developmental stuff going on, obviously, as there always is with growing up, but, you know, kind of a leap right now with that.
I can't believe she's not three yet. She's so mature.
She's three. Yeah, she's three, March 12th.
Wow.
But she is definitely feeling that, you know, there's definitely a lot of the pick me up, you know, and wanting to stay home from school, even though she loves going to preschool. It's nothing negative about it. It's just that, oh, well, he's home. I want to be home.
Yeah.
And I want to be picked up because he's picked up. So it's just, you know, constantly trying to explain and, you know, have empathy and understanding for it. And, you know, you were a baby too, and it's because he can't do this and can't do that. And also trying to be very conscious of just little things, like instead of saying, oh, I'll be right there, I just have to change Theo. You know, I'll say, oh, I'll be right there, I just have to do something. So I'm not always making it about, I'll be right there, it's just because of him, it's because of him, it's because of him. Because then I started doing that for a couple of days and I heard it and I was like, oh, God, that's got to have a massive impact on, oh, Mum's not going to be right there always because of the baby. So right. I just started, you know, making it about me. I just need a moment.
I'll be right there. I'm just having some carrots and celery.
I'm just having my celery in the closet. But, you know, it's great. It's so cool, though, seeing them together. And like we talked about kind of briefly before, seeing the differences. Like, they could not be more different. She's like hazel-eyed brown hair. He's blonde blue eyes. She's tiny. He's big. Personalities, like her first kind of look. Like, her go-to look was always this quirky, funny little smile. He's this kind of pensive, you know, intellectual look.
Did you ever show Elliot the video that she made about the birth?
Oh, did I?
Vera made a video about the birth?
Before the baby
she,
was
no,
born.
Not on purpose. She just walked in the door after school. She just walked in the door after school about, I don't know, a month or so before he was born, just talking about, oh, here's my baby in my tummy. Oh, it's going to come out of my vagina. Oh, I'm just going to have a little rest while I'm waiting for him to come out. And, oh, the cat's tail is going to massage my back while I'm waiting. I'm just going to bend over on this box. Mum, is this box okay to bend? It was so cute.
And then she talked about a water birth, right?
She was like, oh, can you get the tub ready?
This is before you.
Yeah.
Was she at the birth?
She was in the house.
Sleeping.
She was
sleeping.
Well, either sleeping or, because my mum was in town from Australia for like a couple of weeks.
That's right.
Your Chimera.
Fredo and
Koala.
my hookup.
But
I hope you have a third child for that.
They were just hanging out. She did come in early on and she was like, Mom, you sound like a whale. Which was very cute. But then, look, if she wanted to literally be in there, we would have let her. She just didn't really, you know, she was off playing games with grandma.
Yeah,
so
she was probably giving birth in the other room.
She's probably giving birth in the other room.
And she's like, if my mom wants to come, she's totally welcome.
Yeah, but, you know, they came in, like her and my mom came in, you know, a few minutes after he was born. And
super sweet.
It was very sweet. She climbed on and was just so happy.
Oh, I can imagine. She's so mature. I can't believe. I'm still getting over the fact that she's not three yet.
Yeah, no.
She's a mature little thing. She's going to be smarter than me by the time she's like six.
She might be smarter than me now.
Now? well, all right.
Well, I think we all underestimate, I think, children's.
What let's end with this thought, unless you have a thought you want to end with. What is there anything you would do different if you had a third baby, birth-wise?
Shall I leave the room?
Yeah.
No, you would be there, like, if you would be. You'd have me again.
Of course.
No, you're kidding. No, Bliss is Bliss is amazing.
I just want to record the next one, what it is that you're chatting about in between contractions.
Well, I don't know. Apparently I was funny. Apparently I made you guys smile, so that made me feel good.
Did you record it?
No, I said next time.
Oh, next
I will.
Time. Next time.
It'll be the new podcast. Yeah. What would I do different? What I tried to this time, and I did to a degree, but just get out of my head. And you know what? Knowing now, having two completely different births, having one that was, you know, a quote-unquote regular labor that was not a back labor and there were no complications, mm-hmm. knowing that that's what I would hope for and expect for, but also knowing that the most likely alternative, unless it was a, you know, majorly different situation that I needed to have a, you know, an emergency C-section or something went wrong, that it, you know, I've kind of gone through the two most regular scenarios, mm-hmm. it seems yeah. like. Yeah. So it's like, okay, well, let's just let whatever happen. And I know that I'll be okay with either, instead of getting caught up in my head. And also just as much as you can think, well, every baby's different and I knew that, and every woman's different and I knew that, really believing that and knowing how different, and proof in the pudding, honestly, more than anything, is pregnancy is so different, but just how different my son is to my daughter mm-hmm. really emphasizes that for me. Mm. I don't know why. Well, I mean, I do, but, you know, it really, like, hit home yeah. with me of, oh, well, of course your pregnancy is so different. Of course you feel different. You know, it's a different being. It's a different entity. It's a whole, every single thing is so different. And
the only thing you did different was prenatal chiropractic. It's amazing.
Yeah.
All right.
I love you, Bliss, though. And I love you, Ellie.
Oh, it's mutual. It's
you
a
guys
love
are
fest.
Amazing. Like, you know,
it's a love fest.
Going through pregnancy and childbirth, you weren't, you know, there physically for birth, but with people who are so awesome and just non-judgmental is, God, a massive bonus. I don't know.
Oh,
I can't explain how much that means to me.
I love being on Team Emily, and I love being on Team Bliss.
Well, I'm always your midwife. You know that. You can always reach out to me, even if you're not pregnant again. I know.
This feels like no, you hang up.
No, you hang up. I love
Theo's
that.
Theo's like, ah.
All right. Well.
Thanks for having us, Elliot.
Of course. Bliss, yeah. Thanks for coming back. Yeah. I'm going to, gosh, you. I want you back all the time.
Anytime. Just
now
let me know.
Now that Dr. Stu stole you as his podcast lady.
Like a sidekick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love having you on here.
Anytime.
And Emily, thanks for coming back as promised to share your second story. And Theo, thanks for coming, you know, making everybody hungry.
I got to hold yet. Him. That was fun.
Oh, that's so nice. All right. At home, thanks for listening to our podcast. You know what? If you have a suggestion on a topic you'd like to hear about, write to us, info@informedpregnancy.com.
I got a whole lot of questions for you. This kid's gonna test my will. I got a lot to learn and my baby's due.
This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike. Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric-approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby, not even diaper rash.